Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll begin reading with verse 29. Some of the guys were making the comment, "Pastor, you got plenty of water this morning after that salty Sunday last Sunday." Do not put salt in your mouth when you're trying to preach. That'll dehydrate you, all right? Thank you, I got mine. 1 Corinthians 7, 29, undistracted devotion. How easy it is for us to become distracted. Amen. Amen. Amen? Boy, I mean, you know, we got all of our what? ADD and I don't know what they all are. Let's see. What are some of the others? OCD. ODD. ADHD. What now? Y'all give me a headache.
Ask the philosopher.
Okay. There's something out there for everybody. Amen. But I'm glad you're here today to hear the word of God. Amen. All right. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both that they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Those last three words is what I want to focus on today. The word Lord without distraction. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here today teaching us these great truths. Father, I pray that they would be understood and interpreted as they were meant to be, and that God, we will be able to comprehend these great truths, and that we could get our focus on you in such a way that nothing else would really matter. That Lord, we would just keep our eyes on you. I pray today, Father, that you help me to keep my eyes on you. May you anoint me afresh and anew and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority, thus saith the Lord. And I'll give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Since Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he's referring to marriage, I would like for us to take just a moment to look at ourselves individually and as members of the body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ, and in particular, the church as the bride of Christ. Now, you see the picture there. The line is representing the Lord Jesus, the line of the tribe of Judah, and the bride. And you may not be able to read those words, but here's the verse that's on the screen. Ephesians 5, 26, 27, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, we're living in the last days. Time is running out for us as a church. I believe God could rapture his church any moment now. We would be out of here. My question is, what are we going to do? What are we doing in these last days? I'll tell you where most people are. We are easily distracted. Amen. We are. And we don't even realize it. You know, our attention span in church is about this short. It's pretty short. You know, I heard the story about the lady who got up during the service just as the preacher got up to preach. And this lady walked out of the service and with her baby. And the pastor stopped her, said, "Ma'am, you don't have to take that baby out. That baby's not going to distract me." She said, "Yeah, but you're distracting him, and I got to take him out." You know, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? It's easy to get caught up in the things of this world and so forth. Well, last week I had the salt up here. Today I brought the water. I got me two cups. Okay, so I'm gonna fill up one cup really good here. and I got a point. Ooh, whoa. Now that's a full cup. So a lady went to her pastor, and she said, I won't be going to church anymore. And the pastor responded, but why? And the lady said, oh, I saw a woman gossiping about another member, and a man that's a hypocrite in the church. I think the worship team, they don't live right. People looking at their cell phones during the service. It just seems like there's a lot of distractions and I'm going to go somewhere else. And there's a lot of other problems this church has. And the pastor replied, okay, but before you do, do me a favor. Take a full glass of water like this and walk around the church 3 times without spilling a drop on the ground. Afterwards, leave the church if you so desire. Well, the lady thought, well, that's too easy. She walked 3 times around the church as the pastor had asked. When she finished, she told the pastor she was ready to leave. And the pastor said, well, before you leave out, I want to ask you just one more question. When you were walking around the church, did you see anyone gossiping? The lady said, well, no. He said, anyone looking at their cell phone? She said, well, no. Well, did you see any hypocrites? She said, well, no. You know why, the pastor said? You were focused on the glass and the water. And to make sure you didn't stumble and spill any water. It's the same in our life. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, we don't have time to see the mistakes and faults of others. We will reach out a helping hand to them and concentrate on our own walk with the Lord. At any church, there's going to be things that anybody can find fault with. A church is filled with imperfect people. In fact, we've got a sign out here that says, no perfect people allowed. Jesus can set the perfect example. So let's focus on Him. Amen? Amen. Any volunteers? Anyone want to carry this around the church 3 times? Daddy said no. I don't even know if I want to do this. I thought about asking someone to do this and just walk around starting here. I tell you what, if I was to look at you right now, this is not easy. Yeah, go down the steps. Y'all want to see me fall, don't you? Yeah. But seriously, to not drop anything out of that glass of water, you really have to be careful. You have to be focused. And guess what? No, I didn't. No, I ain't dropped one because I didn't walk all the way around the church. That'd be hard to do. But the way you could do it is keep your eyes on the water. You could do it. It would be hard to do. It's hard to do because we're living in a day where it's so easy for any of us to get distracted and get our eyes off the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. Number one, I want us to have an understanding of what devotion is. Understanding devotion. And if you're writing this down, this would be worth your time to write down. Here's the best definition I know. Affections focused on God. Affections focused on God. If you want to really understand what it means to have an undistracted devotion, and you want to understand devotion, then affections focused on God. Now think with me about that. Because you see, isn't He the reason we're here? I mean, why did we come here today? To see what someone else is doing? You know what? The church is one of the worst places I know for people to judge you. I'll never forget this man. He said, in fact, he was the biggest drunk in the county, and I had the joy, after praying with him and working with him for 3 or 4 years, to lead him to Christ. I'll never forget this man, though. He said, Pastor, I've been in church now a few years, and he said, I don't understand it. He said, when I was a drunk, he said, if I got messed up, everybody in the bar loved on me. He said, I was a lover, not a fighter. He said, you come to church, everybody wants to fight. He said, when I was a drunk, everybody wouldn't love me. He said, I'd get drunk and all my drunk buddies. And you see, the problem is this, just like alcohol. You know, that person's under the influence and all those other guys are under the influence and they're just having a good time at that bar. Shouldn't it be that we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Amen. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And if we were filled with the Spirit, guess what? We'd be having a whole lot more love than that drunk ever knew. By the way, that guy was a phenomenal person. His testimony was this. He said, you know, Pastor, never went to AA or any support group, but he said, the day I got saved, it's like God took the taste away from me. And he said, I'll never condemn, listen to this testimony. He said, I'll never condemn a man for drinking because I drank all my life. I just don't want it no more. And you know, sometimes that's what God can do. But you do need to celebrate recoveries and you do need support groups. But this guy, and I'll tell you, he just had such a great love in his heart for everybody. He actually fed our whole church for years out of his pocket. Everything we did, he wanted to do something. He said, hey, I threw thousands of dollars on alcohol. Why can't I spend dollars on my brothers and sisters, and let's have an eating good time. Guess what we did? We had an eating good time. All right, why should you understand devotion? Number one, the time is short, he says in verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Paul's not opposing marriage here. Now, don't read into this. He's not opposing singleness. He's not saying he's against marriage. He's not saying that he's trying to push singleness on anybody. Paul's saying there are advantages in not being married. More flexibility, less responsibility, maybe not as much financial strain or whatever. He's not saying it is a sin to be single. Singles are not second-class citizens. While Paul is saying the time is short, we got to get with it. And that's his point. He's saying we got to get about the purpose, our mission. I can hear some single person saying, yeah, Pastor, time sure is running out on me too. It's short. Singles are not second-class citizens. I've heard single people say, well, God just overlooked me. Let me ask you a question. Had you rather be married to the wrong person and be living a life of hell on earth or be single? Paul is saying the single person can be more focused on God than a married person, because you have far less distractions. If you will get so focused, though, as a single person on God, guess what God's promise is in Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Get your focus right. Where is your focus today? Where is your mind right now? Are you focused on something else? Folks, look up here. You have less time on this earth than you've ever had. Right? That's common sense. Time is running out. And the Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. For the church, the time is short and our task is serious. God wants His people to be people of vision. He wants us to be a kingdom people, to do a kingdom work. But Satan will do everything possible to distract us from our mission. So the task that the church has is very serious. You have a serious calling from God. Look up here, folks. Pay attention now. What we do here is a matter of life or death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. And Satan had rather keep this church distracted so people will die and go to hell. You know, I've been in church all my life, and I've seen people fall in this pit of distraction. And they begin thinking the church is this and the church is that, and they get into all this kind of stuff and they lose their focus. Folks, the purpose of the church is to lead lost men, women, boys, and girls to Christ. If not, why didn't He take us to heaven the day we got saved? That's common sense, right? I mean, today, it would have been a lot easier for us if He'd have just taken us to heaven the day we got saved. But He left you here with a task, and it's very serious. Notice what He says in verse 29. It remaineth that both that they have wives be as though they have none. What's Paul saying? He's saying we have a serious task. Time's running out. And if we're going to get about doing the work of God, we need to do it now. Why? Because it will be too late in heaven to win the lost. It will be too late in heaven to serve the Lord. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Look up here, friend. If you're not saved, today is the day for you to get saved. Because tomorrow's not promised. The task for all of us who are saved is to obey, are y'all listening? The Great Commission. Some of you, I've already lost you. Folks, if we're not doing, listen, if we're not following the Great Commission, God will never bless this church. That's what God's called us to do. That was His last words to us. And it was not the great omission, it's the great commission. It starts with a command. Go. Go. Whether you're single, whether you're married, and listen to me. Listen carefully. I know this is in the context that He's talking about being single. He's talking about married people. But really what He's saying here, put God first, whether you're single or married. That's what He's saying. The task is serious. And if you will put God first, church, listen to me carefully. Yes, I'm preaching to the church today. I'm preaching to you as individuals. He'll take care of the rest. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the promise is this, all these other things will be added unto you. You know what the church is focused on today? All these other things. We're more worried about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. And we worry and we worry and we worry. When our task is to worship the one who says, I'll take all your worry. I'll take all your care. You say, preacher, you're giving people a false sense of hope. Folks, Jesus is the only hope we have. He's the only hope that we have to get to heaven. And He's the only hope that you have in your life. Now, you may be leaning on other things. If you are leaning on something else, it will fail. This earth, the Bible says, will pass away. And then He's talking about a trust that is sure here. The trust is sure. And they that weep, now listen, what He's talking about here, as though they wept not, and they that rejoice, verse 30, as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of the world passeth away, verse 31. Who or what are you putting your trust in? Are you trusting in what brings you the most pleasure? What brings you the most satisfaction? Are you putting your trust in your business? Are you trusting in the stock market? Are you trusting more in your husband and your wife and your boyfriend, your girlfriend? The only trust that is sure is this, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. We're talking about understanding devotion. Do not lean to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Here's the promise. And He will direct your paths. That's an understanding to what it means to have your affection right. And when your affection is right, more than your affection towards your wife. Listen, the best thing, sir, you could do for your wife is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then you can love her right. Amen. Ma'am, the best thing you can do for your husband and your children to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then you can love your husband and your wife right. You know why marriage is all messed up today? We get distracted. The woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times, and the man she was living with was not her own. But oh, she met Jesus at that well. He said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Amen? Don't that light y'all's fire? It lights mine. I mean, think about what happened here. Now, there's a lot of folks looking for love in all the wrong places. And they jump from one partner to the next. She'd been married 5 times. I know people like that. After a while, wouldn't you get the point that maybe you're the problem? You know, it's all these men that I've been married to. No man can meet the need, every need of a woman. No woman can meet every need of a man. But Jesus met that woman's every need that day. I mean, the real need. Where are you putting your trust? In your husband, in your wife, your spouse, your parents? You better put your trust in the Lord. That's the only thing that is sure, okay? And then unfailing devotion. I got to move quickly here. Not only are we looking at understanding devotion today, but what does He mean? Look at verse 32 with me. He's talking about a carefulness, a nurtured carefulness. He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. You know, just like the woman at the well. She didn't know what it was like to please the Lord. She'd been trying to please a man. Maybe that's why she went through 5 of them. She couldn't please them. You know, I got to say this while I'm thinking about that. Did you know God will never bless immorality? I mean, God will never honor that. Well, let me just bring it down to where we are. Now, this is the foolishness of man. Well, we'll just live together. That's sort of the thing that people, two salaries are better than one. No, actually, you will come up short every time because you're not doing it God's way. Immorality is never right. God will never bless. The only thing God blesses, I believe, when it comes to a relationship, is a relationship His way. And God's way, and I know this is on YouTube and all this stuff, but God's way was one man, one woman for one life. That's God's way. That was God's way. You say, well, preacher, what messed it all up? Sin. Sin got it all distorted and messed up. Oh, Eve. She got distracted. She took her eyes off the one who was walking in the cool of the day with them. I mean, they had perfect union with God. And the old serpent said, good looking apple over there, isn't it? That's some good looking food. Yep, that sure does look good. And Adam and Eve took of that fruit. And ever since then, man's been going down. You know what? We haven't changed much. We have the sinful nature. Well, how can we have an unfailing devotion? We need to nourish a carefulness. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, we got to live intentionally. We've got to mean business to God. Satan is using our economy to get folks to live together. Satan will use every tool available. Two salaries better than one, but not if you're living in immorality. There's no way you can violate the principles of Scripture, married or single, and come out better. The satisfaction of needs isn't in human relationship or things, it is in the person of Jesus Christ. And here's the exciting thing. Once you learn that principle, and Jesus will begin to meet all your need. Look, you don't have to get married. You may get married, you may want to get married, the desire may be there, but if you don't, God is with you and He will take care of you. You know what? Marriage is beautiful. It's a wonderful relationship, but it's not necessarily meant that for everybody to get married. It's meant for some people to stay single. Say, preacher, I sure hope no, stay single. Well, get busy for God and He'll send you someone, all right? I'll tell you, an unfailing devotion, point number one, is a nurtured carefulness. You see it? Nurturing carefully means you shouldn't do things just because you have to, but because you get to. It should be the overflow of your life, an unfailing devotion. I care. You know why a lot of people do the things they do? Because they just don't care. They don't. You know why some people treat their partner the way they treat them? Because they don't care about them. If you care about someone, you're careful. You're intentional. You watch this. I heard about this man. He went to his doctor and he told the doctor, he said, doctor, my wife has a terrible temper and she says awful things. Have you got any prescription for me? He said, take some water, put it in your mouth. And swiss it for about 3 days. And you'll get along with her fine. Because you have to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's best to do that, guys. You know? And the women are agreeing. You nurture something. Sometimes you don't need to say something about everything. The women are smiling, guys. You need to wake up out there. I mean, sometimes it's just nurture that relationship. How do you nurture it? Sometimes don't say a word. Other times you need to be quick to say, I love you. Need to be quick to say, I understand. You know what? We need to nurture that and nurture in our relationship with God. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. There's a new commitment. He says, but he that is married care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord. In order to have an unfailing devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a new commitment, listen carefully to this, of your will. Okay, that's second point. A new commitment. Okay? And one thing he chose not to violate in your life was your will. So why is it that he won't violate your will? Because he wants you coming to him because you want to, not because you have to. He wants you, he don't want you walking this aisle saying that you accept Christ and you're going to live for Jesus if you're not serious about it. He wants you to do it because you have a want to. A new commitment says this. I will do that which is pleasing in the Lord's sight. An undistracted devotion to Him. Who can give your love to Jesus Christ? Who can? I'm asking you a question. Did y'all answer it? Who can give your love to Jesus Christ? No one but you. Right. It's got to be your heart. It's got to be your commitment. No one can give your love to the Lord Jesus Christ but you. So all of us make that choice, and you make it every day, every moment of every day. I choose this day for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua made that new commitment, did he not? Yes, he did. The rest of Israel said, we're going to do what we want to do. He said, well, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Do you know God will honor the man that says that in his family? Amen. I mean, he'll bless that marriage. The wife all of a sudden, well, what's happened? Man, my home is changing. The children will rise up and call mom and daddy blessed because daddy made a new commitment for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Today, there is no commitment to marriages or to families. In fact, I'm seeing it happen more and more. The children tell the parents what to do. It's time for the parents to start parenting and say, listen, there's a new commitment I'm making. I have an unfailing love for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then the thing I really want to get to before I get to the last part, no competition. Notice what he says in verse 34. He says about middle way, and that she be holy, that she be holy both in body and spirit, and they say, but she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now notice what he's saying here. That is, Jesus Christ should have no competitors in your life. You might say, wait a minute. I have a 10-hour job I have to go to. There's going to be competition. Let me ask you a question. Is it not true that the child of God can live in devotion and love for Jesus Christ wherever he is and wherever he goes? Listen, it is a relationship. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's not a job. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. Jesus Christ should have no competition in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what the answer is when I ask you this question this morning. What is the greatest competition in your life for your devotion to Jesus Christ right now? I want you to think about that. What is the greatest competition in your life for your devotion for Jesus Christ? And the Holy Spirit's already told you. First thing that came to your mind, you know what it is. Is it your work? Is it your relationships? Is it a thing? Is it a desire? What is it that competes for your love and devotion to Jesus Christ? What is the one thing that can distract you the quickest from your devotion to Jesus Christ? What is that competes for your time before the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you not agree that it's a real shame that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one that we worship, who we call Lord, has competition? There should be no competition. And I really think that's what Paul is trying to say here. He's not saying it's wrong to be single. He's saying there's a lot right about being single. He's saying there's nothing wrong with being married. But there should be no competition. Amen? There should be no one before the Lord Jesus. God made it very clear. You are to serve me first. You're to give me the best part of every day. You're to give me the best of everything. That's what he desires. And you're to have no other God before me. There should never be no competition when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in our affection, our focus upon him. That's what devotion is. And then last, and what I really wanted to get to, and you say, wow, you're doing good today. Yeah, it's almost 1 o'clock. No, clock changed. No, it's 11 o'clock, isn't it? 11 o'clock. Undistracted devotion. Now, that's what I want to give you. I want you to write these down. If God speaks to you, it's worth writing down. I want you to look at this scripture again where he says that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. He says, this I speak for your own profit, not that I cast a snare on you. He's not trying to get you in a trap here. Here's what he's honestly saying. This is an honest thing. And you will need this. I promise you. I moved quickly today because I want to give you these are all principles. And if you will follow these principles, I know without a shadow of a doubt, God's hand will be upon these because they all are His principles. Did you know God will always bless what's of Him? All right, number one, there must be a singleness of purpose. A singleness of purpose. Undistracted devotion literally means this. If you were to look it up in the original language, it means sitting beside. It has the picture of a husband and wife, and they're just sitting there with one another, loving on each other, caressing one another, holding each other, sharing their thoughts, their goals, their dreams, their love for God, for one another. By the way, you should be doing this with your wife all the time. You really should. You say, preacher, do you live what you're preaching every day? She and I, we do this. We spend our time in devotion together. We pray together. We study God's word together. We do this. And then we share our hearts one with another. It really helps me. I guess it helps her. There must be that sitting beside. And you're sitting beside the Lord here, okay? Amen? I mean, here was Sherry and this was our goal. This was the plan. That we would glorify God together better than we can apart. I believe there can be that kind of singleness of purpose because that's the purpose God has for us. What is His purpose for putting you on this earth? What is His plan for your life that you would glorify Him? When we pour out our concerns and our joys with one another and with the Lord, there is a oneness that's indescribable. Much like Jesus talked about in John 17, where He said in His priestly prayer for the church. He said, Father, would you make them one as you and I are one? I mean, we're talking about singleness of purpose, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So what must our singleness of purpose be? In all things, in our walk, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Not several purposes, that's competition. He wants your love. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. He wants your adoration. He wants that above everything else that you have to offer. He'd much rather have that than all the money you could ever give Him. He can take a penny and multiply it to be billions of dollars. But He wants you to be single to Him, to give yourself in focus to Him, your affections, a singleness of purpose. And then second of all, a sensitivity to the Spirit. Paul said he did not want to cast a snare upon you, but old Satan sure will. If I'm sensitive to the Spirit, when Satan comes along in one of his old snare competitor uniforms, I will identify that as a distraction to my devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. He will tell you what is truth and He'll tell you what is a lie. He will speak to your heart. What kind of snare has Satan wrapped around you that keeps you from giving Jesus Christ your full, complete, unreserved devotion? And I'll tell you, one of the greatest snares is just simply distraction. He wants you over here or over there. Do anything and everything, then keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Peter going through that storm? As long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what did he do? He began to sink. Sensitivity to the Spirit. There needs to be, if we would get as sensitive to the Spirit of God as we are to our feelings, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, grow up. You know, we need a sensitivity to the Spirit. It's easy to get your feelings hurt. You know what you have to do? Nothing. Yeah. You'll get your feelings hurt at church before you walk out of here today. Somebody didn't look at me right. I didn't like it. The preacher took a drink of water while he was preaching. You don't need to be sensitive to me. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit. You don't need to be sensitive to what somebody else is doing around you, whether they speak or don't speak. I didn't come here to hear you. I came here to hear God. Amen? A sensitivity to the Spirit. And then third of all, a solitude with Christ. Does God deserve your undivided attention? I said, does God deserve your undivided attention? Amen. He's worthy of it. But you know what? Already there's been major distractions going on in your heart and your mind, even while I'm preaching. Because We find it difficult to give God our undivided attention. I don't care whether you hear me. I'd rather you hear God than hear me. My words could be the wrong word. I'm just a man. God's word brings life. I want you to hear the word of God. The solitude that we have with Christ, just getting along. My challenge today is that you decide that you are going to have some sitting beside the Lord time every day. Just every day, you choose for me and my house, and you say, well, I'm single. Well, that's going to be easy. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But say it anyhow. Say it to the devil. Say it to the pets, or say it to somebody. Hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Dog, you sit over and be quiet. This is my solitude with Christ. Amen. Husband and wife, you talking about, look, I'm trying to help you. You want intimacy in your marriage? Oh, sit beside your wife or your husband in the Lord. It'll bring great, great trust between you and intimacy in the Lord. All right, next of all, submission. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. He will flee. Undistracted devotion sets this principle in place. I will submit myself to God that I might resist the devil, that he will flee from you. The key is to submit your will to God's will for your life. He's Lord. He's sovereign. He's in control. He knows what he's doing, whether you know what's going on in your life. And folks, I don't know about you, and I'm trying to wrap this up. Folks, without him, I can do nothing. I am weak and undone, but he is strong, and he's able to do, hey, he can do it all because he knows everything that's going to happen my whole life. So why not submit to him? Why rebel? What are you putting off? The time is short. Your time is short. Some of you young people are saying, well, I got my whole life. No, you don't. You don't never know. I don't want to upset nobody. I don't rain on nobody's parade. First funeral I did, I was 19 years old. And it was a baby. It was a crib death. I think one of the saddest things I've done my whole life in one church, it seemed like that's all I did was funerals. That one church, and I'm not lying because I had a book. I kept up with the funerals. The church owned a cemetery, and it was free. You could be, if you were a member of the church, you could be buried there for free. Okay, the church owned the land. And because I was the pastor, I did 230-some funerals. And guess what? I learned real quick, age has nothing to do with it. Because I did babies, I did teenagers, quite a few teenagers. Shocked how many had a young man just die for no reason. His wife told me, said they didn't ever find out why. He just died. I mean, friend, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to understand. If you'll submit to the one who gives you life, hello, you know what? He'll bless this life. Submit to his lordship. Submit to his sovereignty. I think this is a key. Surrender yourself. Submit to God. Next, separation. And I know people don't like this, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. As in verse 34, he says, be holy both in body and in spirit. And in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in this world at the same time. You've got to make a decision. You want God to be your everything. You want him to be the focus of your life. I know who I'm preaching to this morning. I know exactly who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to me. Because God's been speaking to my heart about this more than ever. Ronnie, you just stay focused on me. Don't you look at nobody else. Don't you worry about what's going on over there or that place or this place. You just keep your eyes on me. And if you'll keep your eyes on me, he's saying, keep yourself separate from the world. The devil can't touch you. Because I'm going to tell you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But if you start living like the world, guess what? You're going to get what the world offers. What you sow, you reap. Last thing, and I'm done, sacrifice. Yeah, it's going to cost you something. It may cost something, but whatever the cost it will be worth it all. Today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. You will be glad. Something that costs nothing usually is nothing. There's not There's nowhere in the Bible or in all of church history that says God's called us to easy living. The church was birthed out of blood, heartbreak, sufferings, and tears. Giving of your life for the cause of Christ. Salvation cost God everything. He had to give His only begotten Son for you. Will you give your life to Him today? I'm talking about undistracted devotion. I mean, so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we get baptized and we go under that water. We don't get just a little dab-a-doo-you on your head. We go all the way under. You know what? You're saying, I'm dying to my old life. That's what you're saying. You're not just getting a little bit of Jesus. You want to go all the way. And if you want to enjoy your Christian life, don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Get in with both feet. Enjoy the Lord. Live for Him wholeheartedly, and you will enjoy the Christian life. If you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're going to be suffering all the time. And I'm afraid that's why a lot of people are ill today and aggravated. I've never seen Christians get so ill today and aggravated over the least little thing. And the reason for it, folks, is because we're not fully devoted to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Someone didn't speak to me. We can come up with every excuse. But folks, if we will, let me fill this thing back up again. It's got to, I'll tell you, I believe this is a key illustration right here. Fill this thing up to the brim. And that's what Jesus did when He saved you. All right? And just keep your eyes on Jesus, what He's done for you, how He saved you, how He washed you by the precious blood, what He's done for you. And don't let that water spill out. And the only way I can keep this water from spilling out that I know of is that I keep my eyes on the water. I keep my eyes on this cup, and I make sure that I don't spill, because it moves when I move. But I don't think I've spilled anything out. Oh, daggone it. Just spilled it all. You know why? I got distracted. I was going to put it up. Folks, don't get distracted. Because if you get distracted and you lose your focus on God, you will dry up and die. He's the life. And that woman at the well, Jesus said, I'll give you this water. You'll never thirst again. And she got saved that day. And went back into the city, and the whole city came out and got saved. Can God use a woman like that? Sure He can. That's the blood of Jesus, and that's the blood that will wash you today. Let's pray. Father, I pray this for myself more than anybody else here, that I will give You my undivided attention, undistracted by the cares of this life. This world is passing away. Time is short. It's running by. The task is serious. And I pray in the name of Jesus today that there would be no competitors, no competition. Lord, You are worthy of our best. And I pray that we'll put You first in all things, recognizing that Your promise is You'll take care of everything else. I pray just now Your Holy Spirit move at this invitation. Would You have Your way in this place in a mighty, mighty way? Lord, we've tried it our way, and we end up at a dead end every time. There's somebody here today, they're tired, and they're sick and tired of being tired. They've tried it their way. I pray today that they'll come and surrender their will to Your will and their way to Your way by coming to the way of the cross. I pray that someone like that woman at the well would take of this water, that she would never thirst again. May someone come today and receive the fullness of God. To be undistracted is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's don't let nothing distract us. Let's all stand and sing.